Gospel of Matthew. We're going to talk about the two foundations this time, the two foundations, but we're going to go back, and that's in Matthew 7:24, but we're going to read all the way back to starting with verse number 17, because we did not have time to read those in the last message. From the Amplified Bible, it says, "Even so, every healthy, sound tree bears good fruit, worthy of admiration. But the sickly, decaying, worthless, wormy tree bears bad and worthless fruit. A good, healthy tree cannot bear bad, worthless fruit, nor can a bad, diseased, wormy tree bear excellent fruit worthy of admiration." Number 19. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. "Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will I enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many shall say to me on that day," and that, of course, is this great day of the great white throne judgment. All the ones, all the way from Cain, all the way this way, and all the angels will be judged at this period of time in the great white throne judgment after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. "Many shall say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and driven out demons in your name, and have done many mighty works in your name?' Then I shall say to them openly, publicly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands.'" Psalm 6 and verse 2. Now verse number 24, the two foundations. Even though we're talking about this, we've talked about, is your religion or is your faith just superstition? We talked about God's wonderful, amazing love stories in this chapter. We talk about truth and false, the wolves and the sheep, God's true ministers and Satan's wicked wolves. Verse number 24. "Pas un hostes, aquae mu tus lagus, tutus, kai oye autus, homo theisete, andri phronimo hostis, oiko don mason, autu tain oikion epi tain petron." Epi tain petron. "Therefore, everyone who he hears me, these words," everyone who hears these words, pay attention, people. This is everlastingly important. Your future, wherever you spend eternity, is based upon these words right here. "These words, and he practices habitually them, he shall be likened unto the man, prudent, who he built, he domed up of him the house upon the rock ledge." Let's look at this for a moment. It's a good idea to build your house on the high place when there's a floodplain. And it's a good idea to build your house on a rock foundation. Now, those rock foundations that we have today are artificial. Do you hear that? The rock foundations that we have today are artificial. Now, 40 years ago, actually even longer than that, a little bit, I built a house in East Bakersfield. I built on a house that my mother lived in. I later bought the place from her. And there was a, this is funny. There was a chicken pen out there in a horse pasture, Mrs. Webb's chicken pen. And my grandmother and grandfather, they talked to Mrs. Webb and they bought that chicken pen from them. It was a chicken house, pretty good sized chicken house, about 20 by 15, something like that. And my family all got together and they got a bunch of pipes out there. And they, and with levers, they got that house on top of those pieces of pipe. Mm-hmm. Big piece of pipe about like this. I remember this well. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was over 2 years old when this happened. I don't know if I was even 2 years old. But you know how little kids out are, they've got to get out there and look at everything. Well, I did. And I was watching them roll this house on these pipes and this chicken pen. And I got my foot underneath the edge of the chicken, of the pipe. Crunch. Screaming and hollering and going on. I should have stayed away from that. I don't know why they said, kid, get away from that. But usually Indian kids, they just let them learn the hard way. That way they learn well. I cut my foot out from underneath that pipe. They rolled it over there. And I got it out. And I didn't put it underneath another pipe either. But they rolled that chicken house over there and they turned it into a kitchen. With a bed in it. That's it. Stove over here like this and a bed over here like this and a window there and a door there and a door there. Because the chicken house had two doors in it. And they put some sheetrock on the sides and everything. Didn't put any insulation in because they didn't know what insulation was. Insulation was cardboard you stuck in the walls or newspapers. That was high dollar commodity. We didn't have any dollars. Picking cotton at 6 cents a pound, 100 pounds of cotton, that's $6. That's a lot of work, people. Anyway, so they moved that over there. And then my mother, and I was living in that little shack out there on the dirt floor with my grandmother and grandfather. But my mother began to build this little house. And so she had another room built on the front of the chicken house. And it was just laying on a boards on just, they put down 2x4s down on the ground. And they built it. It was cheap. And put about 3 2x4s in a 20-foot wall. Not very many. Put some sheetrock on it. I mean, barely getting by. Then she built a bathroom and another bedroom on it later on. Well, I bought this place with money that I got from ruining my back in the oil fields. I got $1,796, and I gave my mother $1,796 for this acre of ground and this shack on it, pretty much. It wasn't much. The old shack was there, and this other one. It did have a bathroom in it, had a septic system and a leach line, and had water and electricity. Pretty neat. But I slowly built onto it. The first thing I did was I laid a big long slab of a solid foundation, a rock foundation. The middle of that room, that was 24 and a half by 20, this big room I built on the front of it now. It was 24 and a half feet wide, this house was. And I built this big foundation out there, and I put 36 by 36 foot inch footings on the side, and I laid 8 inches of concrete in the middle and lots of wire and lots of rebar. I drew up the plans of this thing, and I built this great big deal. On one end, I put in a great big fireplace with a long hearth, 20 feet wide. Big Las Cruces stone. And then I went underneath that old house, because the old house, there was only one part of the house that had a footing under it. And it had 24 by 24 foot or inch footings. But the old chicken pen and the other one didn't have any footings at all. So I went underneath there with a shovel, and this is hard clay ground, and I dug in this ground. I'd run some water in there, and I'd dig and dig and dig. For about a year, I dug. And I dug underneath all of that, and all the time I was digging underneath there, I was shoring it up. And Marilyn, you know what I'm talking about, because your dad was digging the room, the basement up there, mm-hmm. out on the farm the same time I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I built, dug underneath there. Now, I want you to understand this clay is like concrete. Most of the ground that I dug out from underneath there, it was just like digging through bricks. I dug with a claw hammer. And using the claw as a pick. A pick wouldn't hardly dig into this stuff. I found out that sharp claw hammer, I can make more room doing that. And I hauled all this dirt off. I threw it out, and hauled it out. And then I poured a cement floor. And then I put an 8-inch wide, thick concrete block all the way around it, like your dad did. That did. And I put cross beams. 4x8 cross beams underneath it. And then I put supports. It had a foundation then. Never had a foundation before. Had a foundation. All that concrete wall and the concrete floor and all the rebar and all the concrete blocks, I filled all of the open spaces in it with concrete and with rebar. All the way up in that house had a firm foundation then. It didn't have a firm foundation before. We're talking about foundation, but we're talking about more than foundation. Everyone, therefore, who hears me, pay attention. The words these, and he practices habitually them, he shall be likened unto the prudent man who built him the house upon a rock. They didn't have concrete back then
mm-hmm.
in most of those places. They were using something like concrete in Egypt, but we're talking about Palestine, and that's what we're talking about now. If you wanted to build a house in that country, and you build houses out of rocks, by the way, you didn't go out there and build a house on sand. You dug down to the rock foundation. I poured a rock foundation in that concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I used 16 yards of concrete in that 24 and a half by 20 foot deal.
Mm-hmm.
Then I built another room on the front of that with a lot more concrete. I can guarantee you, if there was an earthquake, that concrete would just float on top of it. Because you're not going to break it.
Mm-hmm.
That concrete will never break. Not unless they take a jackhammer in there, and then it's going to be hard. But I built that house on a firm foundation. I didn't ever plan on moving from there. Things got bad, and I moved out of the neighborhood. It's still standing. It's mm-hmm. still standing there, just exactly like I built it. Heavy duty, built for 1,000 years. These are the terms and illustrations of a stone mason, by the way. Not a carpenter. Those houses weren't built out of wood. They're built out of stone. And they built the stone houses on a rock foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the rain will wash out from underneath and the wall will fall down. I guarantee you one thing. You go over there in East Bakersfield, and that house still standing over there. I would build a wood box on the side of that great big living room where that fireplace was, and I poured a thick foundation, and then I built concrete walls, a big block, and poured them full of concrete. I was going to build a concrete roof on it. Rock to last forever. Well, it'll be still standing there when I'm gone. 25. Kai katabe he roke. Kai elthon hoi patomoi. Kai epi nuson hoi anamoi. Kai pros et peson te oika ekaine kai uk et peson. Tethele li oto. Gar epi tain petron. And came down the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And they came down the rivers, the floods, the flash floods. And they blew the winds. Now, by the way, the story of the three pigs is based right upon this right here.
Mm-hmm.
And they blew the winds. And they fell against the house. Household that one. and not it fell. It had been founded and placed upon the rock. Placed upon the rock.
Mm-hmm.
In 1978, there was a great hurricane that went through Bakersfield, California, and Arvin, and Lamont, and Taft, and everything back then. It blew houses down. I saw it blew concrete walls down. It blew all of the telephone poles down.
Mm-hmm.
And the rains came and flooded everything all over the place, running all over after it's done all this. We didn't, no one had electricity for what? How long, do you, Marilyn, were you out of
electricity? 7 days.
7 days.
Mm-hmm.
We were out of electricity in that area for over 2 weeks. My mother came to my house every day. I had a wood-burning cook stove, that stove right there, that one. And I cooked dinner for her every day on that wood-burning cook stove because there was no, the gas was shut off because so many houses blew down. But that house that I built stood as if nothing was blowing. I made the walls so tight and the door so tight that the sand didn't come in it. Matter of fact, the walls and the windows were so tight and the doors were so tight. I mean, I sealed that hang on the outside. I stuffed it full of all the insulation. I did the ceiling. I did everything that could be done to seal it. But when I wanted to start a fire in that stove or in my fireplace, I had to open a window because
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't draw at all.
Mm-hmm.
After I got it going down slow, I could shut the window. That's tight. That's a firm foundation, people. People who were coming all over. They were coming all over. I was running on kerosene lamps and Aladdin lamps and kerosene lamps and Coleman lamps and wood-burning cook stove. I was plenty warm, had plenty of food to eat. Plenty of warm and plenty of food to eat. The stores were shut down, everything else. But we had food. We had heat. And we had light. Because I had prepared for the storm.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know the storm was coming. It blew like that 3 or 4 years after that. Every year it come up. Now that, by the way, the winds were blowing over 150 miles per hour up to 170 miles per hour. That's hurricane. That's tornado force. It blew a lot of houses down. It blew, matter of fact, my car in the front yard, I was driving a Datsun 510. Every few hours, I had to go out there and put my car back in the driveway because it was blowing it across the yard. Moving it. I go out there and back it up, get in there if I could without being blown down, and put it back in the driveway. And then after a few hours, it would be scooted back out there in the middle of the lawn again. That's hard winds, people. It blew people's windows out. It blew people's doors off.
Mm-hmm.
It blew the roofs off. It blew and it blew and it blew for over mm-hmm. 2 weeks. Came down the rain. Caught a bay, and it came down the rain. The Broxay, that means heavy rain. And there came down the rivers and floods. The Potomoy. The floods, plural. And there blew. That comes from Newell. And there blew the winds. And fell apart, or fell against, that is, the house. All the parts fell against the house. All the rain, all the wind, all the floods were against this house. That one. And not it fell. It had been founded and placed upon the rock. What is your religion? What is your faith based upon? Is it on the rock? In Matthew 16th chapter, which we aren't there yet, Matthew 16th chapter, verse number 18, it says, Jesus is talking to his church, and he picks out one person. He said, you're Peter. And he picked him out because the name Petros is means a small rock. And the name Cephas means a small rock. That's Aramaic. Petros. He was called Cephas, and he was called Simon, and he was called Peter. Peter, Petros means a small stone. Thou art Petros, a small stone, but strong adversative conjunction, but upon this rock himself, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to wrestle her down. Matthew, the 28th chapter. It says there, after you've been cast out into the world, doesn't say go ye therefore. The commandment there is make disciples. After you've been cast out into the world, make disciples, teaching them. It says teaching them, making habitual learners, baptizing them, and then teaching them to guard with their lives all things that I've given unto you, and lo, I'll be with you until the end of the age. That church age right there, the end of this age. The Lord said, I'll be with my church until the end of that age. Where'd your church come from? Where did it come from? Is it the one Jesus founded? Is it the one that he called out on the seashores of Galilee? Is he the one that Constantine founded? Is he the one that Joseph Smith founded? Charles Taze Russell? Mary Ellen White? Mary Baker Eddy? Who founded your church? Jesus founded his. And then in verse number 26, Kai pos ho akuon, mu tus lugos, tutos kai me poion, autos homo thesate, andri moro, hostis oko domason, auton tain oikion, epi tain amon. If your church is not like the church the Lord Jesus Christ founded, it may not be the right church. The one that Jesus called out said it would never fail him. You can be saved in many, many churches in this world if they preach Jesus Christ. But is your church founded on sand or on rock? And every the one hearing me, the words, these, and not doing them, not habitually doing them, he shall be likened unto the man, the moron, by the way, the man, the moron man. The moron man. That's what it says here, the moron man. That moro there, that means a foolish, that means a babbler, that means someone who just goes around blub, 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 talking to himself. The moron. Who he built of him the house upon sand. Amon. You don't build a house upon sand unless you pour a lot of concrete down there. Verse number 27. Kai katabain he broke. Kai elton hoi patomoi. Kai et nuson hoi anamoi. Kai tros kapton te oikea. Oi. Ekai ne kai, epason kai, ain he, tatoasis, altes megale. It came down the rain, and they came down the floods, the waters, the rivers, the flash floods, and they blew the winds, and they built against that household, that one, and it fell. And it kept on being the fall of it great. It kept on being the fall of it great. Why was the fall of it so great? They probably spent as much money building this house on sand as the guy did on rocks. A lot of money. But it had a bad foundation. It had a bad foundation. And the fall of it was great. But it's talking more about building than that about building. It's talking about your life, your eternal soul. What is your eternal soul built on? Is it built upon the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The faith called out by the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it upon man? If it's upon some man, it's upon sand. If it's upon man, it's upon sand. Verse number 28. Kai eganato hote etelesen. Hoesus, tus logos, tutos, eke plesanto, hoi, okloi, epi, te, didake, altu. And it came to pass, when he had finished, Jesus, the words these, that they kept on being struck out of their senses. The crowds, this is 10 to 20,000 people, the okloi, the 10 or 20,000 people at the teaching of him. What's he saying? What's he talking about? Is he a farmer? Is he a tree trimmer? Is he a stonemason? Well, he was a stonemason. But these terms mean more than trees and vines and buildings. It's talking about the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 29. Engar didaskon ut altos hos exousion ekon kai uk hos hoi grammates alton. For he kept on teaching them as authority. That, look at that word exousion there. He kept on teaching them didasko. He kept on teaching them doctrine. Doctrine. Doctrines are important. Who is God? Who is Jesus Christ? What is baptism? What is the Lord's Supper? What is the church? What is the family of God? What is the people? What is heaven? What is hell? Is the devil real? What is the Holy Spirit? What is the Son? What's the Father? What about the Trinity of God, the Triune God? These are very important doctrines. And it says that his authority, that exousia means no limits of power. Exousia means out of it. No limits. Having and not. As the ones, scribes, grammates, scribes of them. Let's go back and read all this now. Back and read all these verses. From verse number 24 on. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house or his home upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded upon a rock. Remember that concrete, giant concrete foundation. Concrete and rocks, the same thing. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish, moron man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat against this house, and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the Sermon on the Mount, in parenthesis, the crowds were astonished and overwhelmed and bewildered and wondered at his teaching. This is like the second Mount Sinai, but a greater than Moses was here. For he was teaching as one who had and was authority and not as the scribes. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know whom you have believed and why you believed in Him? Do you have eternal life? Have, right now, eternal life. If you've repented of your sins, if you've gone through that narrow mourning gate, if you've walked down that pathway with Jesus and Him alone, and He is your Savior, you have eternal life. If you have not, you do not. I've had a lot of people that were members of churches come to me. I remember Rosie Hernandez, that's Ray Hernandez's sister. She was raised up in church. And she came and heard me preach, and she said, come up after the service one time, and she said, Brother Jim, I don't think I'm saved. I said, well, why not? You've been baptized? Yeah, I've been baptized. She said, I never repented of my sins. I never called upon the Lord to save me. I was too young when I was saved, I thought. I didn't really know what I was doing. I said, well, Rosie, I said, you don't have eternal life. Do you want to have eternal life? Do you want to ask the Lord to forgive you and ask you and save your soul? She said, yes. And then I baptized her by the authority of that church. I baptized a person 2 or 3 years ago. I was wearing the same shirt and same Levi's I wore when I baptized Rosie about 35, 40 years ago. And her mother came up and thanked me. She said, "I remember when you baptized Rosie." I said, "That's not all." I said, "I'm wearing the same shirt and pants that I baptized Rosie wearing." And she said, "Really?" I said, go back and look on the website and see." I said, "It's the same one." And she said, "Wow." She went back and she said, "You're right. You were wearing the same shirt and same pants." But baptism doesn't save. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Do you believe that He was actually God the Son, the Jehovah of the Old Testament? Have you asked Him to forgive you and save your soul? If you have eternal life. If you have not, you don't. The two foundations, which one are you on? The two foundations. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out for your honor, for your glory. And Father, I pray that you send with your Spirit with it, that it will touch hearts and minds and souls, that they might have eternal life, that they might follow and serve you, and that you might hold them up as they go through the life, through the troubles of life. I pray for all of my students. I pray for the Cowan brothers. I pray for all Nick. I pray for all of those all over, Nancy, Marna, Don, all those children you've given me. And always I forget some, but they're not forgotten in my heart. Father, I pray for all those that you give them the things, this food that they need this day, and the strength to face the life that we have. We have a walk. We have that narrow gate to go through. We have that narrow path to walk on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.